Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Hello, I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Evan Novy Williams.
And this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. Scott Soschnick is off today. Today, we begin with the Washington Redskins. And there is a problem, according to a New York Times expose, concerning their cheerleading program. They want it to be, according to the Redskins, a safe and constructive environment. But we are hearing, according to this Times report, something totally opposite.
Yeah, some pretty ugly details in there from a number of years ago, around 2013, some of the former Redskins cheerleaders saying that they were asked to pose topless in front of some wealthy donors to the cheerleading program. There's a bit in there where they were allegedly asked to be escorts for a night out at a nightclub with some of these donors as well. Overall, a bad look, if they're true, for the Redskins, a bad look for the NFL. And this comes on the heels of a lot of cheerleading headlines in the past couple years that have reflected poorly on individual teams. There's a former Saints cheerleader earlier this year who said that she was fired for posing a photo on Instagram that they deemed was too risque. A number of years ago, there was a minimum wage lawsuit filed against a few teams, including the Bills and the Raiders, for their compensation of cheerleaders. This is part of a much larger issue for individual teams, and the NFL has tried to stay out of this. It's unclear, though, how long they can kind of claim to be a neutral third party.
Now, let's clarify something. According to the Times report and what the cheerleaders said, they said no sex was involved, but at least one described the feeling as being pimped out.
Yeah, and that's bad.
Yeah,
obviously that should never happen. The NFL's response to this has been that teams are allowed to do their own, have their own policies with regards to cheerleaders. My guess is that will probably change. We've talked to some labor lawyers who say that the NFL may actually be liable, despite the fact that they're not involved in these decisions, through some third-party employer claims. The NFL has said that they're willing to talk to teams, share best practices, maybe even set some minimums, some bare minimums in terms of how cheerleaders are treated. But the fact is that this is a bad look for the Redskins, of course, for the league as a whole, especially at a time when the league is under fire for so many different angles that we've discussed on the show.
Have we hit the moment where maybe the cheerleaders, and one person brought this up, maybe it's time for the cheerleaders to go?
It's funny you say that. One of the things that the cheerleading groups have talked about is a desire that if this lawsuit does go away, that they want to make sure that teams can't scrap their cheerleading programs. I mean, they don't want the legacy of mistreated cheerleader teams to be that the cheerleaders disappeared from the NFL altogether. So I think there will be some harsh pushback if there are teams that decide, you know what, I think we're going to scrap our cheerleading program, because these women obviously are cheerleading fans. They love what they do, and they don't want the fact that they were mistreated to be the reason why there are no more cheerleaders in the future.
What I don't understand is why, according to many cheerleaders, that they're underpaid. I don't understand that. We're talking about teams that make multi-million dollars. Why can't some of that revenue go towards paying the cheerleaders?
Yeah, it's a $15 billion league. I think a lot of that kind of depends on how teams set it up. You know, the Redskins are one of those teams that do their cheerleaders in-house. There are a lot of other teams that just contract their way out, you know, and let another party handle the entire cheerleading group. one of the things that shocked me in this New York Times story is that the donors, some of the guys who were on this trip to Costa Rica in 2013, they were paying for some of the cheerleading team's travel to things like playoff games in the Super Bowl. You know, so there is obviously it is not part of the organization that's flush with money if they are using donors to pay for travel, etc.
Let's talk about something a little happier, especially the Pac-12. We're like, oh, yes. For the first time, the Pac-12 annual revenue topped $500 million.
This was such good news for the Pac-12 that they changed the way they announce their revenue. Usually every year you have to look through the tax statements from the previous year, figure out what the Pac-12 made in revenue. This number was so good that they decided, you know what? Let's put it in a press release. Let's have a press conference. Let's project this out to the world with all of its context.
The only thing missing in that press release was, yeah, boy!
Exactly. This is the Pac-12 has, for the past couple years, kind of been maligned as struggling financially with regards to the other major Power Five conferences. And $500 million in annual revenue will get them closer. It doesn't quite get them all the way. If you do the math on that, it's about $31 million distributed to each Pac-12 team. That pales in comparison to the SEC, which is at $41 million. It's even behind the Big 12, which is at, I think, $34 million. But the fact of the matter is that the Pac-12 has done some interesting business things. We've talked about them on the show. They own their own TV networks. No other conference has the full ownership and operation of that. They've invested a lot of money in Asia, and they expect that in the future to bring in more money. But certainly eclipsing that $500 million revenue mark is a big deal for them.
I was just going to talk about that. That $509 million, that includes the Pac-12 networks. That's where a lot of this coin is coming
exactly, from. Exactly, yeah. This money comes from growth of the Pac-12 networks. It comes from growth of the ESPN-Fox deal they signed a number of years ago, which I believe was the most expensive media rights deal in college football before other leagues took it over. But it will be interesting to see as we continue to go if the Pac-12 can kind of slowly catch up to, you know, much more powerful, richer leagues like the SEC, like the ACC. The Big Ten's number will jump really high with their new media rights as well.
I don't know, boy. My goodness, about the SEC. They make so much doggone money. I don't know if anybody's going to catch them.
It's funny, yeah, as we talk about the growing argument over whether players should get paid, whether college athletes should be compensated in some other way, you look at these gaudy numbers and you really think, you know what, there's got to be a way to cut players into the tens of millions of dollars that every conference is giving out to its principal schools.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel has become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank, because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
We have to talk about the Kentucky Derby, which ended over the weekend on a muddy, muddy monsoon
of
a track.
How about that weather? Oh, my God.
Well, that's what... See, I'm glad...
I don't think I could run in that.
No, I can't run if it's dry and sunny, let alone on that. Justify won the race. Mendelsohn, which I thought was going to just be superb, got an early bump right after coming out of the gate, and Mendelsohn said, I'm done. I'm not racing in this stuff. I'm grumpy. That's it. But it,
I don't think I've ever related to a horse more than I've related to Mendelsohn in that moment.
The thing about it, though, is that this was the eighth most watched Kentucky Derby ever.
Yeah, from an attendance standpoint, yeah, over 150,000 people. In weather like that, that's certainly a good metric to fall back on if you're the Kentucky Derby. They consistently, the live product is so good for the Kentucky Derby, and really for the other two races as well, especially if there's a triple crown on the line moving forward into Belmont. They have the benefit of it being once a year, you know. But as so many other sports kind of struggle getting people into the stands, the mix of the pomp and the style and the concerts and the dressing up, everything kind of coalesces into this really compelling live event for the Kentucky Derby. And you see that with 150,000 people standing in pouring rain just to watch a bunch of horses run around in a circle.
I remember one year I went to see the Preakness at Pimlico, and all the races were dry except the one race, the Preakness. And all of a sudden, I mean, literally, it was like just a huge monsoon hit the track. And I'll never forget this. A guy who was visiting from Alabama said, I came all the way from Alabama to come see a tornado right in the middle of the racetrack. This is great. It's like, and this is something that people who were at Churchill Downs had to go through with this rain. And like you said, it's diehard race fans.
Were you in the infield at Pimlico?
Oh, no.
I've done that once. It was both spectacular and a fear for my life simultaneously.
It was so windy. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Pimlico, but they have screens that are up on a crane.
Mm.
And it was so bad, the screen started flapping, and they had to bring the screens down for the race. That's how bad it was.
Jeez.
I don't think they had to do this for the Derby and the infield and everything. But it's amazing, like you said, eighth most watch in attendance in a monsoon, and people still love horse racing.
Exactly. And it's a sport that, I mean, I've always felt as though it was going to start aging up, you know, in the same way that we talk about golf. But there's a younger crowd, especially maybe less so on TV. The TV ratings or the overnight ratings were down a bit. But at least in the in-person experience, you go to these races, there are a lot of younger folks there.
Speaking of people who made a bet on this race, there is a Texas woman who nearly matched Justify's $1.24 million purse for winning the Kentucky Derby after she correctly picked five straight winners in races, 8 through 12, at Churchill Downs on Saturday. And the woman won $1.2 million after placing an $18, that's what breaks me up, placing an $18 pick five wager at Retama Park Racetrack in Salem, Texas. And we're talking over 1,000 miles away from Louisville, Kentucky. But she picked Justify, which was the favorite, and she won the Derby. That's what won her this money. Now, the other four races, that's what amazes me. One race, one horse was 8-1 to win. Another race was 10-1 to win. In the 11th race, I think that's what it was. Now there was a 40-1 long shot. Funny Duck in the Pat Day Mile. That was the 10th race of the day.
Great horse, Funny Duck. Tremendous speed.
I love that name.
Fantastic.
The bettor also correctly picked Limousine Liberal, 4-1 to win the Churchill Downs Stakes. That was the 8th race of the day. And the spokeswoman for Retama Park says that that's unheard of. Yeah, I guess so.
$18 bet that yields $1.2 million. Unheard of. You know a bit more about horse racing than I do. I've seen interviews with this woman. She claims to have studied a lot. You know, she's leaning on her skill as a horse racing bettor. Are you buying that?
No. Listen, I'm happy for her. She did a heck of a job. But that is almost impossible to do, and she did it. So good for her. She said that she's going to take some of the money, and she's going to help her daughter go through college. So
there's another great Justify gambling story out there. I don't know if you saw this. At the Wynn in Las Vegas back in February, a horse bettor called up the guy who runs the sports book there, Johnny Avello, and said, "I've got a horse. I want odds on him to win the Kentucky Derby." And Avello went through everything, gave him 300-1 odds on Justify. Because Justify, as you may know, didn't run as a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
The first horse to win the Kentucky Derby without having run the year before. So not many people had seen this horse run. 300-1 odds, the guy put down $500 and made a cool $150,000 yesterday.
I'm sure the person that gave him the 300-1 odds, step in the office back here. We need to talk to you. I got to throw in a bonus topic. Kevin Harvick, who, by the way, this past weekend in Dover, just beat the snot out of the field, man. And it's his 4th win of the season so far. But the reason why we're bringing up Kevin Harvick is because off the track, he's got a great business that he's setting up. It includes golf, UFC, and others. And what he has set up is kind of like a sports and celebrity marketing agency. It's called Kevin Harvick Management. And according to ESPN, he's doing pretty well with it.
Okay. You're the NASCAR guy. I don't know much about racing. Certainly don't know much about Kevin Harvick. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, I think it's great. I think the one thing that struck me was that a lot of other NASCAR drivers, when they go for business, it's not sports related. But in this case, you know, he's knocking it out. I mean, he says that he loves baseball, football, basketball. He loves golf. In fact, he set up Kevin Harvick kind of like a mini Augusta in his backyard. And he is set up, it's like almost like a par three where he's got, you know, you got to shoot over, you know, the floral arrangements.
Got a
and
tiny
whatever.
Little bridge there.
And a tiny little bridge that's there. And I'm impressed because if you think about it, many other NASCAR drivers, I think Mark Martin, he has a dealership, you know, obviously, which makes sense. I get it.
It's on brand.
On brand. But this is something that I hope he does well with. I think Kevin Harvick is going to do well. A lot of guys make a lot of money doing this, and they invest their money well.
So as a non-NASCAR fan, I could probably name maybe 10 drivers. Kevin Harvick is one of the ones whose names I would see and say, oh, I know that guy. He's a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly wish him well in the new endeavor.
Well, good luck, Kevin Harvick. He keep going. His 4 races so far this season. I mean, that's doing something. So anyhow, this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Evan Novy Williams. We are here each and every Monday and Friday exploring the world of money and sports. Scott Soschnick is off today, but Scott will join us again at the end of the week when we speak with the biggest and brightest in the sports business industry. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world and online as an Apple podcast on iTunes.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.